Hello, and welcome to show number 2416 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy. Well, this week we have something a little bit different and hopefully fun. Nancy and I recently took a week-long trip to San Diego in January, and we thought it would just be a nice idea to see a fun town. And we've had several shows recently about the Be My Eyes app and how useful that can be to people who are visually impaired to get descriptions of what their camera sees or photos in their photo roll on their phone. So we decided to take Be My Eyes on our vacation and view some of the sites through the app to see what kind of feedback you got. Of course, I usually get feedback directly from Nancy when we go on vacation as we're trolling through museums and other sites around town. But I figured in addition to that, I would see what Be My Eyes had to say as if that was my companion. And that's what this show is all about. So we have some examples of the kind of feedback we got. And you can enjoy some of the sites we saw in the meantime and have your own vacation in your own living room.
Well, Be My Eyes was not his only traveling companion. I was there too, and we both enjoyed the trip very much. And I believe it was enhanced for both of us by bringing Be My Eyes with us and using it extensively.
But first, for our tip of the week.
This week's tip is, don't be afraid to try something new. And although Pete has had lots of experience using Be My Eyes, and in particular Be My AI, the AI variant of Be My Eyes, this was the first time we used it to describe scenes and experiences that were new to us.
Eyes on Success is supported by
Able One, a portable Braille keyboard for any smartphone or tablet, for typing and navigation that has been used by thousands of blind people. You don't even need to know Braille to use it. More information is at www.iamhable.com. That's iamhable.com.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
We mentioned at the beginning that we took this trip with Be My AI, and I'm sure most of you know what that is, but for those of you who don't, Pete, can you describe it?
Basically, it's an app on your smartphone that enables you to snap a picture of what you're seeing and then have the app describe in detail what the picture is all about. And then you can ask follow-up questions. So if the app says, I saw three so-and-sos in the picture, and one in the middle, one on the left, and one on the right, you can ask the app, tell me a little bit more details about the one on the right. How big is it? What color is it? Etc. And it will come back with those responses. And you'll see some examples of some of that as we go through several museums that we saw in San Diego when I looked at the exhibits using the app.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is our experiences being tourists in San Diego as enhanced by bringing along Be My AI.
Well, there we were in San Diego in Balboa Park, and we walked up to a museum, and I thought I would use Be My Eyes to take a picture of the museum and see what it was all about.
Be My AI. The image shows a building with a classic architectural style featuring three large archways. Above each archway, there are signs. The first arch on the left has a red sign with white text that reads Cannibals Myth and Reality Museum.
Now, there's something you don't expect to hear on a sign, the Cannibal Museum. Yep, that's where we were. It was a museum about cannibalism. Here was the poster we saw when we entered the Cannibal Museum.
Be My AI. The title at the top reads Cannibals in large white capital letters. Below the title, there is a body of text in smaller white letters that reads, "They horrify us, they fascinate us, and they make us question the limits of human behavior." Throughout history, we have been captivated by stories of people who eat human flesh. But how much do we really know about cannibals? Cannibals are, simply put, people who eat people. They could be anyone, from anywhere, at any point in human history, whether they did it once or often. But for a long time, calling someone a cannibal was an ultimate expression of contempt and degradation. It meant the person accused of cannibalism was barely human, could be dismissed, ridiculed, enslaved, or worse. Eating human flesh is more common than we might imagine. No matter how it's used, as an act of survival, revenge, or healing, cannibalism pushes our comfort zone, even as it defines what it means to be human. The myths we have created about cannibals reveal what we fear. Real stories of cannibalism show us the profound power of the human body to connect us to each other.
And then I asked about the point that the poster was trying to make.
The overall point seems to be to provoke thought about the complex nature of cannibalism and its role in defining humanity.
So that was pretty cool, being able to get not just all of the details, but a summary of what the main points were, so we didn't have to think as hard. As we continued to walk around the museum, there were many additional exhibits, but we thought this particular poster was very interesting.
On the left side of the poster, there is a smaller, vertical banner with the title Limits and Edges and a question, "Where do you draw the line?" It discusses the ethical considerations of eating human flesh and the circumstances under which it might be considered. There are also silhouettes of a fork and a knife, as well as a covered serving platter with a brain on it.
And some of the circumstances where they suggested that it might be more acceptable were plane crashes where some people survived and others did not, and everybody was going to die if the survivors did not eat the bodies of the people who did not survive. So you could imagine that might be more acceptable than just eating somebody because you feel like it.
And in some circumstances, it was done for religious reasons. One of the posters talked about eating the hearts of people who had been deceased, and that was supposed to improve the lives of the people who were still living.
Lots of food for thought, as it were.
The next museum that we came to across the street was the Museum of Us, and it was pretty interesting. Here is what Be My Eyes thought about it from the outside.
Be My AI. The picture shows a grand, ornate building under a clear blue sky with a few scattered clouds. The overall architecture has a Spanish Baroque style. The building has a highly decorative facade with intricate stone carvings, including statues and floral patterns. A large arched window with a grid pattern sits at the center, just above the main entrance. To the right of the facade is a tall tower with a clock and bell, adorned with similar ornate details and topped with a dome and cross. The words "Museum of Us" are written on the wall near the entrance.
Okay, Nancy, you heard the description of the entrance of the museum. How accurate was it? You saw it in person.
Well, it was very accurate, but the one thing that I thought was interesting that it didn't mention is there's a huge bell tower at the top of the museum, and if you're inclined to climb hundreds of stairs, you can actually get a tour of the bell tower, but we did not do that. So then we went inside the museum where they had a huge variety of exhibits. And the first one that caught our attention was about beer.
Be My AI. The exhibit appears to be related to the process of brewing or distilling, as suggested by the presence of kegs, buckets, and bottles, which are commonly associated with these processes. The labels "bubbles" and "oh, the bottles" hint at the fermentation and bottling stages of brewing. However, without additional context or visible explanatory text, it's difficult to determine the exact focus of the exhibit. If there is any specific text or signage in the image that you would like me to read, please let me know.
So Be My AI is telling us that we're seeing an exhibit about brewing beer, but apparently I didn't take a picture of some of the signs that were around, and it couldn't read those signs. So it's just inferring from the objects around and how they're placed what the exhibit is about. But it goes on to tell us that if we want to know more, we should take a picture of the signs. So let's do that. I'll take a picture of the sign, and Be My AI will summarize the contents of the sign. Then we'll decide whether we want to read the contents itself.
Be My AI. The image shows a wooden panel with an etched illustration and text. The text at the top reads Egypt beer for breakfast in bold, capital letters. Below the title, there is a paragraph that explains the significance of beer in ancient Egypt, mentioning that it was used as money, and laborers were paid with beer. It also states that a large amount of beer was required to build the Pyramid of Giza and highlights that Egyptian beer was nutritious, containing about 3% alcohol and packed with vitamins and minerals. Comparing it to fermented oatmeal rather than European-style beers. Below the text, there is an etched illustration of the colossal Sphinx of Hatshepsut. The Sphinx is depicted lying down with its paws stretched out in front, and its human head is wearing a headdress. The etching is quite detailed, showing the textures and patterns on the Sphinx's body and headdress.
Then I asked Be My AI to read the complete text on the sign that we were seeing, and got quite a surprise.
The Sphinx is a silent symbol of Egypt, but if he could talk, he would tell tales of beer. Why? In ancient Egypt, beer was money and they paid a laborer a gallon of beer a day. By even modest calculations, it took at least 231 million gallons of beer to build the Pyramid of Giza. To the Egyptian laborer, beer was a vital source of nutrition. Containing about 3% alcohol and packed with vitamins and minerals, it was a lot more like fermented oatmeal than our European-style beers.
Who would have thought that it took so much beer to build a pyramid?
So that beer exhibit was kind of fun and very interesting. But then we went across the hall to another exhibit that was very different. And this one was frankly kind of disturbing. So we've all been hearing in the news about the immigration issues at the Mexican-United States border, mostly in Texas. But where we were standing in the middle of San Diego is about 20 miles from the Mexican-United States border. And immigration, legal and illegal, is a big issue in that part of the country. So let's see what they talked about there.
We got a quick summary from Be My AI.
Be My AI. The image shows a poster with text in both Spanish and English. The title Terreno Hostel 94 is prominently displayed in large, bold letters on the left side, and Hostel Terrain 94 on the right side. The text on the poster discusses a policy implemented by the U.S. Border Patrol in 1994 called Prevention Through Deterrence, designed to discourage undocumented migrants from crossing the U.S. Mexico border. It mentions an interactive map that highlights the dangers of this policy and the loss of lives.
After Be My AI gave that quick summary of the poster, I asked it to read all of the text on the poster so we could learn a little bit more and hear some of the details of what they wanted to tell us.
Be My AI. In 1994, the U.S. Border Patrol implemented the policy known as Prevention Through Deterrence. This policy was designed to discourage undocumented migrants from attempting to cross the U.S. Mexico border near urban ports of entry. Policymakers expected that people would attempt to cross the border on foot in more remote and depopulated regions. The U.S. Border Patrol counted on the natural environment to act as a physical deterrent. Hostel Terrain 94 features an interactive map signaling lives lost through dehumanizing state policies. The map sits alongside cultural resources and family narratives related to these migrations. A policy timeline and land acknowledgement situate us in time and space, while contemporary artworks and landscape visuals help us reflect on the loss.
Now, clearly, this was a very interactive display and with a lot of graphics, and so it wasn't really possible for me to interact with the display myself. But one of the powers of AI is that knowing what the topic is, it can draw upon its resources to tell you what it knows about the story that the display is trying to tell, even if the information isn't explicitly shown on the display. So I asked a follow-up question. Tell me about what this display is trying to show and about the implications of the policies described in the display. And here's what I got.
Be my AI. The prevention through deterrence policy was designed to discourage undocumented migrants from crossing into the United States at populated urban entry points by increasing the likelihood of apprehension. The expectation was that the harsh conditions of more remote and less patrolled desert areas would deter people from attempting to cross the border there. However, this led to migrants taking more dangerous routes, often resulting in injury, death from exposure, dehydration, or other perils of the harsh environment. The implications of this policy have been significant and tragic, with a substantial increase in the number of deaths of migrants in the border regions. The policy has been criticized for pushing migrants into dangerous conditions without actually addressing the root causes of migration. The interactive map mentioned in the poster, Hostile Terrain 94, aims to document and bring attention to the human cost of these policies by marking the locations where lives have been lost. It serves as a tool for education and reflection on the consequences of such border enforcement strategies.
Now, clearly, that was not text that the AI read on any of the displays at the museum. It was a response to the question that I asked about the implications of the policy and what the overall display was trying to show. So it was AI giving a response from its knowledge base about what it thought. And as usual, AI can sometimes be right or wrong. And if you wanted to follow up, you should look a little bit more into the response and some of the details and do your own search. But anyway, it was interesting that AI could give some more information about what we are seeing.
And to make this exhibit more moving and more disturbing, they actually had some artifacts from people who had lost their lives attempting to come across that border and into the United States. Shoes, clothing, other items, stuffed animals. It was very distressing to think that that's something that's still ongoing today.
The next exhibit we came to was an exhibit about pets and food.
Be my AI. The image shows a life-size figure of a pig standing upright like a human. The pig is dressed in a green and blue tartan blazer, a white shirt, and a green apron. It is also wearing a green chef's hat. The pig's face is very realistic with pinkish skin and dark spots. It has human-like hands with gloves and is wearing yellow tights with yellow high-heeled shoes.
Now, there's a very descriptive image of a pig that you're not likely to hear very often. But let's continue with the description.
The figure is standing next to a large, dark green informational stand with gold and white lettering that reads the animals on our plates and below in smaller text. A question about how we decide what animals are fit for our plates.
Rather than ask Be My AI to read the entire text on the display poster, I asked it to summarize the exhibit for us.
Be My AI, the exhibit seems to be addressing the ethical considerations of eating animals. It poses a reflective question about the criteria we use to decide which animals are suitable for consumption and acknowledges the cultural and emotional complexities involved in reconciling the love for animals with the consumption of meat. The use of a pig dressed in human clothing, particularly as a chef, appears to be a thought-provoking visual metaphor intended to challenge visitors to think about the animals we eat in a more personal and empathetic way.
That was the summary that Be My AI made from the sign. Now I'll take a picture of the sign and ask Be My AI to read all the text for us. Let's see how good the summary actually was.
Be My AI, the blackboard sign held by the pig figure contains additional text in white that reads, How do we decide what animals are fit for our plates? Of the thousands of mammals, fish, and fowl on the planet, people only eat a select few. Most of our food choices are based on what's easily available and culturally acceptable. If a creature fits into both categories, many people find ways to reconcile their love for animals with their love of meat.
The next part of the display was about the lives of farm animals and how that has changed over the years. It was a very busy display with lots of subsections, so I took a picture of the entire display with Be My Eyes and had Be My AI give me a summary of what it saw. Again, I could go to each subsection and have it read each sign if I wanted to, but Sometimes the summary is good enough. Let's hear what it had to say.
My AI, the image is an informative display about the changes in the lives of farm animals in the U.S. over the last century. It includes various sections with text and illustrations. The header reads, "The lives of farm animals in the U.S. have changed dramatically over the last century." A section titled "Each Day" states that millions of animals are killed for food, including approximately 24 million chickens, 130,000 cattle, and 7,000 calves. A graphic shows the number of animals with icons representing chickens, pigs, and cattle. A section titled 60 years ago mentions that cattle were slaughtered once they were full grown, which is around 4 to 5 years old. Today, cattle are slaughtered when they are 15 to 18 months old. Below this, there's an illustration of a calf and a note that a newborn calf, 80 lbs, can reach slaughter weight, 1,200 lbs, in only 15 months due to a diet of corn, protein supplements, and drugs, including growth hormones. It also states that an estimated 70% of antibiotics in the U.S. are given to healthy farm animals, primarily to make them grow faster. Another section discusses the living conditions of breeding sows, stating that most spend the majority of their lives in crates that are too narrow for them to turn around in. There's an illustration of a sow in a crate. It also mentions that today, most egg-laying chickens live in a cage approximately the size of the displayed box. The final section talks about the environmental impact of factory farms, stating they produce 300 million tons of waste per year, which is more than the entire U.S. population. It includes an illustration of a pile of waste with animals and a human on top.
Well, you may not know this, but Pete and I have been vegetarians for decades. So all of those comments about reconciling our love for animals with our love for eating meat, we don't have to reconcile. But it was an interesting exhibit anyway. So having gone through the exhibits we shared with you, as well as others at the Museum of Us, we later went to the Model Railroad Museum, which was very different, but also fun and interesting.
And here is what Be My Eyes described to us as we approached the entrance to our next venue.
The picture shows a sign for the San Diego Model Railroad Museum. The sign reads, "North America's largest Model Railroad Museum." There is a circular logo in the center with a stylized image of a train. Below the logo, there is a red arrow pointing to the left with the word "downstairs" indicating the direction to the museum.
And to think, it's the largest such museum in North America. Well, let's follow the directions and go. I wonder what's next.
Be My AI. The picture shows a detailed model train setup. There are multiple tracks with model trains, surrounded by miniature landscapes. The landscapes include mountains, a small town with buildings, and a festive area with Christmas decorations. There's also a control panel with track layouts on the wall. The scene is encased in a room with reflective glass, causing some glare in the photo.
So that was a nice overview of the museum and what was there. And then we started going around from specific exhibit to specific exhibit. And each exhibit was built and sponsored by a different local model railroad organization. And there were, in many of the exhibits, people working on the exhibit. And we got a chance to interact with some of them, which was kind of fun. But they all show different scenes, different scale railroads, etc. So here's an example of Be My AI describing one of the exhibits in the museum.
In the center of the image, there's a charming miniature winter village. It features snow-covered houses with multicolored lights and decorated Christmas trees. There's a central ice rink with tiny figures that appear to be skating. Adjacent to the rink is a carousel with bright lights and festive decorations. The scene exudes a cozy, holiday atmosphere, reminiscent of a bustling Christmas market.
So you can see that Be My AI really does give me a good overview of which exhibit I'm coming to, a little bit about the exhibit, and then even some detail about what's in the exhibit and some specific detail at that. That sounded like a very fun holiday scene that it described.
And actually, as far as I was concerned, bringing the Be My AI with us as we toured these various museums enhanced the experience for both of us. And, you know, we still did our normal chattering back and forth, and Pete would ask me questions and I would tell him what I saw. But we got another opinion, or you might even say fact, from Be My AI. And that was really nice. And then we got to discuss that as well.
So I hope you enjoyed coming on this vacation with us and wandering through these museums. I thought it was a lot of fun, as did Nancy, I guess. And I want to point out that although we showed you some examples of using Be My Eyes in person while we were at the museum real time, you can also take photos, keep them on your camera roll, and then do that processing at home by sharing the photos with the Be My AI app. And some of that we actually did after I got home because we didn't want to take that much time in the museum. So it's a good way of making some good memories even after you're done with your vacation.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how you can learn more about some of the places that we described to you. So if you're interested in what there is to do in San Diego, you can go to their general visitors website, which is sandiego.org. And from there, you can find links to probably every museum or park in the city. But we specifically mentioned a few, and so we're going to give contact information for them as well. So many museums and the San Diego Zoo are located in Balboa Park, which is a very large and beautiful urban park with lots of grassy fields. And you can find more information about that at balboapark.org. In particular, within Balboa Park is the Museum of Us, which includes the exhibits about cannibalism. And their website is museumofus.org. And the San Diego Model Railroad Museum is also in Balboa Park. And their website is SDMRM, which is short for San Diego Model Railroad Museum.org. And then the app that we used is Be My Eyes, which can be obtained for free at either the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. And the more you use it, the more useful you will find it to be for a variety of applications.
If you missed any of that, you just click on the show notes for episode 2416 and you'll find it all there.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be continuing our tour around San Diego, including the world-famous San Diego Zoo. And we're going to use some different AI tools to enhance that experience and to further share it with you.
Well, thanks for joining us on this part of the vacation, and we hope you'll continue to come with us for the rest of the journey next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.